The title I was given for this particular message is How Can God Ever Accept Me? Which is a pretty pertinent question, don't you think? Very significant one for you and me. Well, here's the story from Jesus' own lips in your Bibles. In the pew, it's page 851 and it's Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. It's a short story, but it's a very important one. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I tell you, said Jesus, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. James Montgomery Boyce says this particular parable is rich with spiritual truth. In fact, it contains the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As verse 9 tells us, Jesus spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Jesus spoke often of the issue of righteousness, pleading with his hearers to understand their utter inability to be righteous enough to attain to the kingdom of heaven. This knowledge was essential if they were to understand his mission on earth, which was to save sinners. In other words, those who knew they could not save themselves. In any religious debate I have with my friend Cliff, the sticking point is always the same. He just cannot believe that a kind and good God would reject so many thousands, if not millions, of people and condemn and judge them and consign them to that other place. He says his God would not do something as drastic and cruel as that. His God would accept everybody. Well, Cliff is right, of course, his God would do that. But what about the God we say we believe in, the God who reveals himself to us through the Bible? A God who will accept some, but who will also reject others, many others in fact. The God who discriminates between these two praying men in Jesus' story. Is that the kind of thing he would do? Is that the kind of thing he will do? Well, based on the Bible's teaching, I'm certain that he will do that. And not merely to the irreligious rebels who reject him, however many millions of those there may be, but also to all the religious phonies, the modern-day Pharisees. And this parable makes God's attitude and action very clear. So frankly, it seems to me that's a very good reason for anyone to be more than just a little bit afraid of the God whom we see in the scriptures. For just a moment, just for a moment, wipe away the sentiment in your religion. And realize that though we may believe that we are loved and forgiven, and praise the Lord if that is so, the opposite could also be true, and it certainly is, for many people. Unforgiven, cast away, reprobate, lost forever, bound for hell, that is awesome. Not much room for sentiment there. And the Pharisee in Jesus' story did not go home justified with God. And looking at our passage today, and looking at the behaviour of this particular Pharisee, would you say that Pharisees like him have any sense of the awesome, in fact the fearsomeness and holy nature of God? And more to the point, do I? And do you? But then I'm not a modern day Pharisee, are you? Or then again, maybe I am. I think it's just a bit too easy to read this parable and see myself in the humble tax collector's corner. That's me over there, beating my breast in abject recrimination for my sinful life before God. But maybe what I need to do is to think a little bit more laterally, a little bit more personally and honestly about all of this. A simple starting point might be to consider A.W. Tozer's definition of a Pharisee and a spiritual man. And this is what he said. A Pharisee is hard on others and easy on himself. But a spiritual man is easy on others and hard on himself. Here's some more for you to think about. It's a list composed by a very reflective, self-confessed former modern-day Pharisee. He is now a genuine and sincere Christian, but this is what he writes. Here is my hope and prayer that you'll hear this and do an inspection of your heart. The following things flow from my own personal struggles with legalism and being a Pharisee. And in many ways, I am a recovering Pharisee. I still have a long way to go, but I'm thankful the grace of God allows me to stumble and to struggle and yet to still be his child. In his list, he outlines what he sees as 12 signs of a modern-day Pharisee, and here they are. Sign number one, the modern-day Pharisee believes that showing up for worship every Sunday and Bible study in the week makes him right with God. Modern-day Pharisees, you see, try to measure everything. They must have something to measure their righteousness, anything to give them some security with God. So the modern-day Pharisee sees measurements as essential to righteousness and salvation. Worship for him is not so much a time to draw close to God. Worship is just another check off the list. For modern-day Pharisees, Christian living is not so much about being transformed into the image of God. It is more about living up to the standard of God. And no one can live up to God's standard except Jesus. And the Pharisees of Jesus' day thought their own goodness was so impressive that it couldn't fail to make them acceptable to God. They held rigorously to ceremonies and traditions of the law, making a public show of their religiosity, all to be seen by other people, many of whom they despised as being beneath them. But Jesus called them hypocrites, and he said, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So then, showing up for worship every Sunday and doing your Bible study thing do not in themselves make you right with God. Whatever you may think of your religious performance, God may not be impressed at all. Sign number two. The modern day Pharisee spends more time talking about what he is against than what he is for. Pharisees love to argue. They love to spend their time convincing others. And if they had to list the actions and issues they're against, their pens would run out of ink. But if you turn around and ask them to make a list of what they're for, the pen wouldn't need much ink at all. Pharisees believe their job is to defend God and legislate morality. So they're against drinking, smoking, swearing, short skirts, tight blouses, talking back to parents, cuddling up before marriage, and so on. And all of these things come pretty much before the gospel. Or maybe they are the gospel. The modern-day Pharisee wouldn't be able to tell the difference, perhaps. Sign number three. The modern-day Pharisee believes that God actually needs him or her. Modern-day Pharisees believe that God needs them on his team. They believe the church is dependent on them. They know what is best for the church, after all. Sign number four. The modern-day Pharisee does not repent of sin. He doesn't have any serious sin to repent of. Repentance is for people who sin really badly. Not for the modern-day Pharisee, he just doesn't see the need. But for the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, going to the temple to pray with the condition of his heart as it was, he might just as well have stayed at home. He certainly had plenty to repent of. Sign number five, the modern-day Pharisee makes the issue black and white. The Bible is grey on many issues, but modern-day Pharisees don't deal in the world of grey. They must have everything black and white. In or out, yes or no, up or down. You see, if an issue is grey, modern-day Pharisees have to do some work on their hearts. And Pharisees don't work on the heart. They don't consider motives. And here's another thing about grey. It doesn't allow modern-day Pharisees to keep a score. Black and white issues, however, allow them to keep a tally of their righteousness. I've never drunk or smoked or gambled or cheated on my wife. Well, that's a pretty good tally, I suppose. But who cares if their heart is full of lust and anger and envy? Making a grey issue black and white means modern-day Pharisees don't have to deal with the motives underneath their actions. The critical issues are clear for all to see. Sign number six. The modern-day Pharisee would never condone homosexuality, fornication, or blatant immorality. But he has no problem watching TV programs that do. And this is a real issue with modern-day Pharisees. They love to put on a show when the lights are on. They want people to think they're righteous, but thoughts of the purity and person of Jesus do not inform the rest of their lives. After all, they went to church and Bible study. Their checklist is complete. But they don't use the TV remote to block out corrupt programs and make a stand for true righteousness, albeit in a private situation where nobody sees. Sign number 7. The modern-day Pharisee's salvation is based on his works and character, not on Jesus. The Pharisee in Jesus' story says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Whichever way you look at it, that is a pretty good religious wrap-up. But Jesus says it doesn't stack up at all for the man in the parable. So what religious things do I do that I imagine put me on the inside track with God? And what about you? Sign number 8, the modern-day Pharisee reads the Bible to substantiate his convictions, not to be shaped into God's image. During the time of Jesus, no one knew the scriptures better than the Pharisees. They studied the scriptures relentlessly, and modern-day Pharisees do pretty much the same. But then they turn around and use the knowledge to convince others that they're wrong. The Bible is their personal weapon. Modern-day Pharisees use it to throw rocks at all the misguided evil sinners in the world and in their church. To modern-day Pharisees, the Bible is not a means to grow into the image of God. It is a means to convince the world of all its fallacies and misguided theology. Sign number 9. The modern-day Pharisee believes outsiders should conform to a certain lifestyle before they are acceptable. This is a Pharisee trademark. Before non-Christians can be considered part of the group, they must conform to a certain lifestyle, stop all the cursing and drinking, stop doing all the stuff bad people do, and then come and join us. Maybe. Sign number 10. The modern-day Pharisee doesn't know the difference between a convert and a transfer, because modern-day Pharisees get just as excited when someone joins their church as they do when someone joins the kingdom of God. In fact, they don't see much distinction between the two. They celebrate a baptism the same way they celebrate a family moving from across the street. This is why they have no real desire and concern for the lost. The church is adding members. Isn't that good? But they're being added to the directory of the local church and not to the directory of the kingdom. Modern-day Pharisees don't care very much as long as the church is adding people and growing. Sign number 11, all of the modern-day Pharisees' Christian friends look and act just like he or she does. Pharisees are exclusive. So take a look around at your group. Is it essentially a collection of men and women who look, speak and act pretty much the same as you do? If so, it may be an indicator that you are a modern-day Pharisee. In fact, most often when people speak of Pharisees, they're really speaking Pharisaically. Thank goodness I'm not like those people. Sign number 12. If someone tries to rebuke a modern-day Pharisee, he gets angry and offended. But remember what happened when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in the New Testament. Their hearts were broken. They repented. And Jesus used them to start a church. Well, actually, no. That's not how it happened. When Jesus called out their sins, the Pharisees, amongst others, hated him for it and ultimately crucified him. Just as in Jesus' day, modern-day Pharisees see any rebuke as a personal attack. They immediately go on the offensive. Some get angry and storm off. Others proceed to make a list of sins of the person who is rebuking them. It is characteristic of modern-day Pharisees that they refuse to be receptive to rebuke. Why is that? Because to rebuke them is to attack their supposed righteousness and holiness of life. It undermines the lie that they are perfect. So that presents the question for you and for me. How do we handle rebuke? Always supposing, of course, that there is someone spiritually discerning and brave enough to do that for us. In my advice, they do. It's pretty clear by now the basic root cause of all Pharisaism is unadulterated pride. Someone has said what is most dangerous about pride is that first, we come to trust in our own abilities rather than trusting God. And secondly, we come to regard other people with contempt and disrespect rather than seeing them as created equal in the image of God. In the modern day Pharisee, there isn't usually much evidence of true humility. The Pharisee in the parable believes he is most acceptable to God and does not see himself in need of mercy. The tax collector, on the other hand, knows he is spiritually sick and in need of God's forgiveness. I have to confess that when I think about some of these 12 signs, I begin to recognize some of the ugliness of modern-day Pharisaism in myself. And the reason the man who wrote about these 12 signs He wrote because they had characterized his religious life as a Christian. And then one day he came to see that all along he was in fact a modern day Pharisee. And one day he woke up to himself, saw himself for what he was, and repented of his Pharisaism. And now he's able to say that his dearest desire is to draw people to Jesus and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And he says that now he hopes and prays that other Christians will do exactly that. So I would say, if this man's renewed spiritual awareness can also in some way define my present spiritual awareness, I guess I can put myself in the tax collector's corner and take heart from what Jesus said to him. So I will therefore say, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And I'll take comfort in what Jesus says about him. This man went home justified before God. Remember why Jesus told the parable. He tells it at the very beginning. It was directed at some who were confident of their own righteousness and who looked down on everyone else. But the fact is that people like this get no commendation from Jesus, and God rejects them. No amount of good works, church attendance, tithing, community service, loving our neighbour, or anything else we can do is sufficient to take away the guilt and stain of our sin and enable us to stand before a holy God on our own. And that is why God sent Jesus to die on the cross. No supposed righteousness of our ours will cut it where God is concerned. Jesus' death is the only work that is able to cleanse us and make us acceptable to God. If we are truly heartbroken over our sin, we can be assured of God's immense love and forgiveness in Christ. He has promised in his word to accept us, to love us, to make us alive again through his Son. Colossians 2:13. Just a word of warning, whatever you do, don't ever make the mistake of comparing yourself with others and hoping to gain confidence from what you see when you make that insidious comparison. In fact, Jesus specifically warns us against this attitude at the beginning of the parable. When we try to justify ourselves by comparing ourselves to others, we end up despising them and not actually feeling that good about ourselves either. Our standard for comparison is simply this: God himself. And where that's concerned, we all fall way short of his glory. Romans 3:23. So in conclusion, be warned by Jesus' teaching and truly examine yourself. If you want to be sure of the answer to whether God can really ever accept you as a justified person, then know this: you can be sure. And it's all about coming to a humble, genuine realization of your spiritual status before God and being humbled and repentant before him all the time, always, and turning in saving faith to Jesus every moment of every day. The tax collector went home justified before God, and so may you. Let's pray. It's a tricky thing, Lord, looking at our hearts. We tend to kid ourselves so much about what we are, what we do, and so on. And yet when we open up the scriptures and we listen to what you say, we realize that you want us to look far deeper than we're usually inclined to do, and begin to look at our motives, the reason we do things. And see that God has so much to do with ourselves. Therefore, we need to look very carefully at ourselves. By the power of your Spirit, we are faithful to not good, and to come before you for forgiveness and reconciliation. And to realize that any righteousness we might ever have is only one that you give us, your righteousness, which you impute to us. And we're grateful for that. Help us, Lord God, to be true, upright, clean, honest people in our dealings with you and with each other. And in dealing with each other, help us, Lord God, to love each other unreservedly, and thereby be a blessing to you.